when the term congregation is used in the Bible, what is meant? And what is your personal role in that arrangement? Listen carefully as Brother Kevin Barclay, an elder from the North Congregation in Harlingen, Texas, delivers the timely exhortation, "Cherish your place in the congregation."
In an orchestra, there are a variety of instruments that are used in order to make a composition come together. But in an orchestra, though, they are divided into different sections. In one section, you will have the string instruments, where you have the bass, the cello, the violin, or the viola. In the horn section, or the brass section, there you have the horns, the French horn, the trumpets, the tuba, the trombones. And then you have the percussion section, which keeps the beat, as well as the woodwind section. When each section plays the musical piece that's selected for that section, it will result in a composition that is melodious, beautiful to listen to, and pleasing to the ear under the direction of the one who composed it. What an arrangement an orchestra is. And we benefit and we enjoy listening to music. Jehovah, too, has an arrangement for us today. He has an arrangement in the heavens for those who he selects to serve him there. And on earth, too, Jehovah has an arrangement. When we think about this arrangement, though, we need to ask ourselves, am I in my proper place in God's arrangement of things? Let's examine, first of all, why Jehovah has united an arrangement today for true worship and how he does this. Well, in the book of John, chapter 6, it discusses how Jehovah draws individuals into a relationship with him and how he carefully cares for them. Open your Bibles with me to John, chapter 6. And let's notice this time, verse 44. Here Jesus Christ says this, that no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will resurrect him in the last day. Yes, Jesus here said that Jehovah draws individuals to him through the ransom provision of Jesus Christ. Thus, it's not for any of us here to serve Jehovah in isolation or to do what we will want to do. Nor is it for any of us here to decide how we want to serve Jehovah, what we think is best in serving Jehovah. No, but we leave this to Jehovah to decide how we should serve him. No, early on, Jehovah chose and he used it and blessed the congregation of Israel. Back in the Israelite time, each individual had a personal relationship with Jehovah, but in order to maintain a strong relationship with him, it was necessary to accept and to cooperate with a united congregation there Jehovah had in Israel. So they had to cooperate with the temple arrangement, the Levite arrangement. When there were kings, judges, prophets, or others, they had to cooperate with the arrangement that Jehovah had set forth in order to receive the blessing. But what about in our day, right now? Well, Jehovah today is using a united congregation in our time. And he has gathered true worshipers into a unified arrangement under the headship of his son. And thus today we see a worldwide congregation, and with the center or the nucleus of it being the Spirit-anointed Christians. And as a result, Jehovah has blessed his people. In fact, in the book of Psalms, it mentions how this blessing is experienced. Open your Bibles with me to Psalms 133. Psalms 133, and let's notice here verse number 3. It said, "It is like the dew of Hermon that is descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there Jehovah commanded the blessing to be, even life to time indefinite. Yes, just like the dew that comes down and saturates the earth and produces green foliage for beauty and for other things, Jehovah's blessing is felt and is seen among all his worldwide congregation. And we can see that evident by the love and unity as well as the cooperation we see today manifesting among God's people. So a propounding question that each of us could ask ourselves is, am I in my place in God's arrangement of things? Have you found your place? And are you cooperating with God's arrangement of things? Yes, we can ask ourselves, do we cherish our privilege to cooperate with the faithful and discreet slave and his representative governing body? But what does it mean, though, to cherish one's place in the congregation? This word cherish, it holds this thought. It means to hold something dear, to treat it with care and affection. It means to keep it deeply in mind. Perhaps you're thinking of this. Perhaps if you're married, you may think of your mate. You remember your wedding vows when you said you would love and cherish the individual? Or perhaps it's a son or a daughter that you deeply love and cherish. Maybe it's a service privilege that you love and you hold on very dearly. Yes, when we cherish something, that's what it means to hold it dearly, to think of it deeply. Well, how can brothers in the congregation, though, how can they manifest that they really cherish their place in the congregation? Well, as men in the congregation, do we appreciate how Jehovah delivered us from this ungodly system of things and has now given us an opportunity to serve him with whole soul, with zeal? And we can do this, and we can manifest this. We can show Jehovah that we really cherish this when we make ourselves available to take on more responsibility. So perhaps you can think of yourself as a brother. Are we reaching out for more responsibility? Are we trying to acquire qualities and abilities and characteristics that make Jehovah's heart glad? And when asked upon to do other things, do we look forward to it? Yes, perhaps in one area that we can look at is the theocratic ministry school. When the ministry school overseer hands us a slip, how do we feel about it? Do we cherish it, hold it dearly? Do we think, this is an opportunity to serve my brothers? And do we try to produce parts or try to develop parts that are meaningful, that reach the heart, that are instructive and encouraging, upbuilding? The same way would be on the service meeting. If we're assigned a service meeting part, whether the announcements are clear to one of the other parts, do we put forth the effort that the part requires in order to really nourish and feed the congregation? You know, when we try to handle our abilities or our responsibility to the best of our ability, then it shows that we really cherish our place. But what about our dear sisters? Is it possible, too, that our sisters can show how they cherish their place in God's arrangement of things? And what is it? Well, open your Bibles with me to Psalm 68. Let's look at this verse, Psalm 68. And let's read this time verse 11. Jehovah himself gives the saying, the women telling the good news are a large army. Yes, sisters, do you appreciate the fulfillment of this scripture and the role that you're playing in this? And isn't it true that the majority of those out in the field ministry are our dear sisters? Yes, how can a sister, though, show that she really appreciates her place in the congregation? Well, she can show this by making sacrifices to have his fullest share in the life-saving work in which we are involved. And some are doing that. They're making themselves available. They have increased their hours. They have taken on additional responsibility of auxiliary pioneering or regular pioneering or other privileges of service. But is it possible, too, there are other ways that our dear sisters can show that they cherish their place in the congregation? Well, those who are long in the truth among our sisters can show high regard for their place by displaying reverence for God when making choices in dress and grooming. And as you take a look at our sisters here today, isn't it true that a lot of them really cherish their place in the congregation? Their choices of dress and grooming shows that they really feel that this is how a woman serving God should dress. See, when they ignore the fads of the world and really get involved in showing reverence to God, they are setting a good example for new ones as well. But our young ones, too, can show also that they cherish their place in the congregation. They can show this as they take on additional or look for an opportunity to have a strong relationship with Jehovah. Yes, you may have been raised in the truth, but as a young person, you have to one day make the truth your own. That is, you have to make this way of worship your worship, not just your parents. Where a young one can do this when they show that they want to participate in true worship, perhaps by commenting at the meetings where they can show and reflect their own personal conviction. Or perhaps when going in service, they're not pushed by their parents, but their own urgings push them forth into the ministry. When young ones see this, then they too are finding their place in the congregation. When you take a moment to contemplate the many benefits and advantages that we enjoy, there are many. We have the privilege of being personally recognized by Jehovah. We can be viewed by God as His friends. And Jehovah has given us a sense of purpose, a deep meaning in our life. He's given us productive goals, as well as the hope of eternal life. Yes, we need to appreciate then how Jehovah is taking care of the congregation. Yes, the congregation of anointed one is like a body with Christ's head. Each member depends on all the others. Christ as head supplies body members with what they need through the joints and ligaments, which is a metaphor for the means and arrangements for supplying spiritual nourishment, communication, and coordination. And to this day, Christ is giving gifts and men in the congregation to take the lead. Let's take, for example, the traveling overseer arrangement. This is an arrangement, the traveling overseer arrangement, to impart spiritual strength to the congregation. Traveling overseers are directly appointed by the governing body. And when these brothers visit us, maybe once or twice a year, they really teach us as they speak the word of God to us. Do we appreciate this arrangement? And do we hold these men dear to us who are serving us in this fine capacity? The same could be said that all elders, too, are accountable to Jehovah. And thus we can rightly show we appreciate this provision by being quick to heed their Bible-based counsel and their decisions. We now want to set up a scene for you. Here, two elders have just finished counseling a brother who sought their advice about his romantic feelings toward a co-worker. Now, immediately following the visit, the brother's reflecting upon the elder's advice and his counsel. Let's listen in.
What are those brothers thinking? Well, they don't even know her. I mean, she's sweet and kind and considerate and beautiful. I mean, she has a lot better qualities than most of the sisters I know. Yeah. You know, some of the witnesses that's met her said she'd make a great witness. You know, I can see myself serving Jehovah with her. Yes, I can. I can help change her. I know I can. You know, those brothers just don't understand how lonely I am. Well, I mean, how could they? They got a wife. They got a family. They got someone to come home to at night. Me, I'm all alone. I don't have anybody. You know, it's hard being alone. Those brothers just don't understand. But you know, There's one scripture that keeps going through my mind. 1 Corinthians 7:39. Yes. Marry only in the Lord. Now they emphasize marry only in the Lord. Now how much more plain can that be? And it's a commandment from Jehovah. Oh, how I love Jehovah so very much. I mean, I've dedicated my life to Him. I wouldn't want to do anything that would mar that relationship or do anything that would be displeasing to Him. And what about those dear brothers? I mean, they've known me for a long, long time. And how many times have they kept me from taking a false step? And they've never used their own opinion. It's always been counsel from God's Word. You know, I think about Brother Unhappy in our congregation that married someone that was not dedicated to Jehovah. And look at him now. He's having a very difficult time being spiritually strong. And besides that, his children are suffering too. Yeah. I remember what he said to me one time before he got married. Yeah, give me the opportunity. I can change her. I know I can. Yeah, and look at him now. Boy, I don't want my marriage to turn out like that. Jehovah, what foolishness on my part to think that I could have romantic feelings for someone that's not dedicated to you and still be pleasing to you. Thank you for your counsel. And for those dear brothers, I mean, they're always looking out for my best interest and they're wanting me to do your will, Jehovah, not following my own selfish pursuits. Boy, what a grievous mistake I almost made. You know, I ought to express my appreciation to those brothers for their wise counsel that they gave me. I wonder if I can catch them. I'll do that now.
We noticed the brother, and his first reaction was he tried to justify his course, and then he made excuses, and he minimized the seriousness and the danger of the situation. Happily, though, the elders that gave him direction were real men, giving direction to a loved spiritual brother. Brothers, whether we're heeding direction from the elders, the traveling overseers, the branch office, or the governing body, we will prosper, we will be made firm in the faith when we apply their loving counsel, and also when we appreciate its source. You know, what a privilege we have, brothers, when we think about our place in the congregation, cherishing, holding it dearly. Our attitude toward the visible part of Jehovah's organization really demonstrates how we feel about His sovereignty. So may all of us deeply value our place amid a people who are united by love. May we demonstrate our appreciation by showing wholehearted support of pure worship and its various forms that is given to us. When we do this, we will inherit the blessings of life to time indefinite. So brothers, let's find our place, get in our place, and above all, let us cherish our place in God's congregation.
We deeply value our place among Jehovah's united people. Thank you very much.